On this week's show, Etsy lays off hundreds of associates right before the holidays, eBay is making changes to search, and Poshmark rolls out gift cards. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 230. I'm getting way ahead of myself. 230, the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host as we run through some reselling news. Quite a bit going on this week. Actually, not a ton of stuff, but big news, particularly over at Etsy, which we'll get into. And then, as always, in the back end of the show, I will have a little bit of a what sold recap. Not a particularly great week over on eBay for me. Mercari and Etsy were both very good. So all in, not too hateful. But with all that having been said, let's do this reselling news.
News updates.
There's no good way or really good spin that you can put on this, and there's probably not really a good time to do it, but right before the holidays is certainly among the worst. I was surprised to see this roll out at this particular time, but Etsy announced last week that the timing of laying off 225 employees so close to Christmas is unfortunate, but that they had to do it. They announced a layoff of essentially 11% of their workforce last Wednesday. Etsy CEO Josh Silverman announced the company is cutting 11% of its workforce, or 225 employees, on Wednesday. He again called the timing, quote unquote, unfortunate in a letter to staffers. And Etsy's CMO Ryan Scott is going to step down effective December 31st. This article over on Entrepreneur says Etsy is cutting 11% of its workforce Wednesday due to what the company said was a very difficult yet necessary decision to better position Etsy for future growth. According to their SEC filing on Tuesday, the board approved plans to cut costs amid a restructuring that will cut nearly 225 workers, which will bring its workforce down to 1,770, according to Fox Business. Following the news, Etsy stock dropped by over 5%. I would expect that will probably rebound, and we'll get into some of the reasons why here in a few minutes. He went on to say, the CEO, in the letter that went out to staffers, "We are operating in a very challenging macro and competitive environment, and gross merchandise sales has remained essentially flat since 2021, he wrote in the email. This is something we've talked about on this show, gosh, pretty much every time we do the kind of quarterly business recaps, when these companies announce their quarterly business results. Gross merchandise sales have either declined or remained flat since pretty much the COVID bump, where you had people that A, were home a lot, and B, had a lot of extra money because of the stimulus checks that went out. People were buying all kinds of stuff. We've talked about it regularly. It was a great time to be a reseller, and the business has changed since. I would imagine, I don't have any proof of this, but I would imagine some resellers have washed out. Some of those that got on board during the COVID bump have now found it to be a lot more challenging and probably are not making as much money. Some of them have probably left. Those trends, of course, carry on to the larger companies as well. Their businesses are flat or down, and they're having to try to find different ways to either make more money or reduce costs, which again is something that we'll get into here in just a couple of minutes. In the email, Silverman acknowledged that sharing layoff news right before Christmas was not ideal. Once we knew we needed to make workforce reductions, we wanted to communicate our decision with you as soon as possible, he wrote. However, that puts us in the unfortunate position of sharing this news amid the winter holidays. Now, again, it's not my business. what difference would a couple of weeks made in the big scheme of things? This total restructuring plan is not scheduled to be completed until sometime middle of 2024 anyway. Let the people enjoy their holidays and then bring the hammer down in January. I don't see why the need to do this at this particular time was so strong. Again, I'm not inside the company. I don't have any knowledge. You know, maybe this was a more urgent matter than you would be led to believe, but this just, it's a really bad look. It's bad for your publicity, for your PR, for your marketing, and everything else to do this kind of stuff at the holidays if it's not like an absolute dire emergency. To give them some credit, however, though, most affected employees were told on Wednesday, this is rough, that it was their last day, though Etsy did say it was going to pay their salaries through January 2nd, which is good. Additionally, all laid-off employees will receive a minimum of 16 weeks' pay, 12 months of COBRA healthcare coverage, and 3 months of career service support. The layoffs will cost the company between $25 and $30 million in severance pay and other costs, they said in their filing, and the restructuring plan, as I just mentioned, is set to be complete by the end of the first quarter of 2024. So again, for my money, no reason, especially if you're going to pay these people through January 2nd anyway, just let them work through January 2nd and then do this then. It's crappy. There may have been a legitimate business reason for it, but it's such a terrible look. So what does this mean for us as sellers? This article is over on eSeller 365, and it asks the question, should sellers worry? And the short answer is no, probably not. First and foremost, Etsy has been a profitable business. The company has repeatedly beat many of its quarterly expectations, but as Silverman acknowledged, the company has not grown its gross merchandise sales, the total sales of products on the marketplace, by any significant margin in the last 2 years, again, following that explosive growth due to the COVID pandemic. Most of its profit gains, as we have talked about regularly on this show, have come from adjustments in its pricing structures, which included the largest fee increase in its history. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they were reporting earnings, that I would not personally be all surprised if we don't see another fee increase at Etsy. I don't have any evidence that they're planning to do something like that. That's just me looking at the situation and looking at news like this and saying the quickest and easiest way for them to increase their piece of the pie is to take more of our money, essentially, in fees. The company is also leaning on increasing its take rate by encouraging sellers to participate in its optional Etsy ads marketing program. This is in addition to the offsite ads program, which I talked about either last week or 2 weeks ago, which gets 15% of the total sale that many sellers are forced to participate in and when sales are made from advertising of the company placed on Google or other online platforms. They also profit from their payment and shipping programs, earning more money from each sale. If you use their shipping, they're getting a cut of that. Obviously, they're processing payments where they're taking a cut of that as well. There has, of course, been pushback from sellers, some of which have even formed a collective online marketplace to try to remove themselves from Etsy. Yesterday's announcement by the company that it was reducing its workforce is another sign that the company does not expect sales to increase. Instead, this article expects it will be relatively flat over the foreseeable future, which is a significant statement. For the quarter, Etsy did announce an adjustment anticipating a decline of 1% to 2% over last year, which I believe we talked about on this show previously. The article does point out, however, that while this significant workforce reduction may make some sellers worry about their business on Etsy, the company is actually financially in a good space. As a business, Etsy is forecasting a max decline of 2%. If your sales have dropped more than 2% on the platform, it may be time to re-strategize your business, they say. My sales on Etsy are up, so I'm not in this issue. My best guess would be this is more for the artisan sellers than for people like me who are listing, you know, antique and vintage books. So, they close this article by saying that Etsy boss Josh Silverman said the company has identified some vital projects and initiatives to help sellers succeed. He believes Etsy will be able to, quote, reignite growth for our sellers and drive buyer consideration and loyalty through a focus on quality, value, and reliability. So they are going to make some sort of an effort to help sellers grow their business, which is, of course, one way for them to grow their business. But again, just remember you heard it here first if there's a fee increase at some point down the road over on Etsy. Last thing with Etsy, in kind of news of the weird, this one kind of out of nowhere, claims that pizza listings on Etsy are selling child pornography are baseless. This article is over on the Associated Press. There was a claim that listings on Etsy selling downloads of pizza photos for thousands of dollars are just a disguise for peddling child pornography. AP's assessment was that this is false. Etsy investigated the claims, found them to be baseless. A representative said, while no threat to child safety was established, the posts were ultimately removed from the marketplace because they did not appear to be legitimate and had what seemed to be unreasonably high prices. Pizza, a picture of a pizza or something for literally thousands of dollars. The facts, these listings appeared over the years as the years-old conspiracy theory known as Pizzagate, which posits that Democrats were harboring child sex slaves in a Washington, D.C. pizza parlor, has had a resurgence on social media. Screenshots of a variety of listings from different accounts have been shared online, appearing to show digital image downloads being sold for thousands of dollars each, such as a close-up of a cheese pizza or a winking girl about to eat a pizza slice. As of Thursday, the listings had been removed from Etsy. Others had suggested that this could actually be a front for actual child trafficking through these listings, not just child pornography. In a statement to the Associated Press, Etsy, the online marketplace known for handmade and vintage items, said the claims are baseless and that it has found no evidence to suggest that the listings posed a risk to child safety. The statement also noted the listings were removed because they seemed to have unreasonably high prices, did not appear to be legitimate. An image of a pepperoni pie priced at more than $10,000 was taken down after it was flagged to Etsy by the Associated Press. These false claims now spreading about Etsy, the article continues, are reminiscent of a baseless conspiracy theory from 2020, which alleged that retail giant Wayfair was using pricey storage cabinets to traffic children. So this Pizzagate thing is the gift that just keeps giving. So far, at least in the major media outlets, where you would think you're getting the most reliable information, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that this is the case, and most of these listings have already been taken down. So you can do with that what you will. Moving on, Poshmark, I posted this over on Instagram, at GalaxyCDsRocks, that this might have been just a wee bit too late in the selling season, but on the 12th of December, Poshmark finally announced that you could now buy gift cards. Give them a gift you know they'll love just in time for the holidays, introducing gift cards, the perfect present for any occasion, wish list, or budget. So good for them. Timing, again, probably this should have been November 12th rather than December 12th, but better late than never. Just a couple of quick notes on it. You do not have to have a Poshmark account in order to purchase a gift card. However, you will have to create an account to redeem your gift card. So be aware of that. If you're thinking about gifting one of these, the recipient of it will ultimately have to create a Poshmark account. I don't know that that's necessarily a big deal, but it is something to be aware of, and that they are not currently available in Canada. This is just for the U.S. market. Last bit of news, this actually isn't coming until sometime in 2024, but according to this article on e-commerce Bytes, get ready for eBay search refinements next year. eBay is going to roll out changes to its search engine in the new year, the company revealed during today's monthly chat session. Buyers and sellers have been complaining in recent months that searches on eBay are coming back with inconsistent or irrelevant results. On the December 13th call or chat, a user wrote, there are still problems with search results bringing up irrelevant results unless the item is put in quotes. It gave a couple of examples. For instance, an Alltech 1233. If you don't use quotes, you get 187 results. But if you use quotes, you only get 5 results. Megablocks 96970, no quotes, 641 results, with quotes, just 21. These are two examples, the user pointed out, of search ignoring numbers like model numbers. There are many posts, this writer said, on the forum regarding this issue. Please advise when it will be addressed. And this is something that I have noticed. You put in what you think is a very, very specific thing, especially including things like part numbers, model numbers, catalog numbers, and you get this massive, massive bunch of results that are completely erroneous. They don't have any bearing on the specific thing you're looking for. It might have the right company, the right brand, might even be the right type of item, but it's not the specific one you have searched for by model number. So that is an issue. Not so much for a seller like me in media that's mostly selling books and whatnot, but for someone who's selling very specific sets of things or electronics or whatnot, this could be You could be losing business over this. If people are searching for a particular model number and they're not getting good results. An eBay moderator responded saying, "Our search team is consistently looking into refining our search and is working on making changes that we are hoping to have implemented early in 2024. I will be sure to have this example and feedback sent over to them." They did not specify any further what those changes might be or how they might work. So just be aware of that. Again, props to eBay for not trying to tinker with this search system during the holiday season. Let us get through it. Frankly, in my opinion, let us get through January, which for me is always better than December anyway. And then we're really through kind of the height of the shopping season. So sometime maybe February, March would be a good time to roll something like this out. That, my friends, is this week's reselling news. So now let's cover just a handful of things that sold here at the Galaxy last week. As I mentioned over on Instagram, not a great week last week. I think I sold 80 listings, which was down from the week before, which was 134 or 135. So it was a bit softer last week, but I did sell some interesting pieces that I wanted to share with you. This first book I picked up at an estate sale for $2 just a couple of months ago with a big lot of kind of Western film and radio kind of memorabilia and historical books. This one was called The Roundup: A Pictorial History of Western Movie and TV Stars Through the Years. This was an illustrated hardcover in fantastic condition. Again, I own it for $2. It sold on eBay for $22.99 plus shipping. Next up, a really old book from 1875. Wilhelm Hoff's work, To Memorien des Satan. This was published in Stuttgart in Germany, and it is actually in German. The book itself is in pretty good condition given its age. This also sold on eBay for $23.99 plus medium mail shipping. It was part of a big, big lot of foreign language books that I bought a couple of years ago for like a buck a piece. Another of those little religious books that I seem to be selling every single week. This one is a fairly new one, relatively speaking. This was published back in 1976. It's a large print version of The New Key of Heaven, a prayer book for Catholics. It was published by the W.H. Litho Company. For a book from 1976, I realize that's not hundreds of years ago, but that's quite a while ago. This book was in amazing condition. It looked brand new. Another item from a big lot of religious books that I bought for a couple of bucks a piece at an estate sale recently also sold for $23.99 plus shipping on eBay. First sale of the week over on Etsy. This was part of a big lot of books that I own for less than 5 cents a piece. The Memoir of Reverend Claudius Buchanan. This was volume 16, was written by Hugh Pearson, part of the American Tract Society volumes on this guy. Hardcover in reasonably good shape from, I want to say, the early 1900s. This was in my 10% off sale over on Etsy, listed for $29.99 and sold for $26.99 plus shipping. Another book from that big 15,000 book lot, so another one under 5 cents, The Killers, Fighting Cock and Wild Hawk from 1968. This was a first printing illustrated hardcover with its dust jacket written by a guy named Daniel P. Mannix. Interesting note, Mercari would not let me list this book. I listed it and I immediately got a takedown notice because I assume of the word cock, which is referring to the bird, not the other, but Mercari's language filter on listings is so ridiculously sensitive that it would not allow this thing to be published over there. So this was only listed on eBay and on Etsy. It did sell on an outgoing offer for $28.04 on eBay. Back over to Etsy, a really interesting old book from 1943, Celestial Echoes, a vintage gospel songbook, was published by R.E. Winsett in Dayton, Tennessee. This was part of a big lot, again, of religious books that I bought for about $2 a piece, sold for $34.99 with its 10% off over on Etsy. If you're an Ohio State fan, this one will be near and dear to your heart. You Win with People, written by Woody Hayes. This was a first edition illustrated hardcover in its dust jacket from way back in 1973. The dust jacket had a little bit of discoloration on it, but all in all, the book was in pretty good condition. This was a book I picked up at a church sale back in the summer for 50 whole cents, sold for $39.99 plus medium mail shipping. Back over to Etsy. I've talked over the last few weeks about this big lot of art books that I picked up for a couple of dollars a piece at an estate sale a few weeks ago. The Art of Dean Mitchell, The Early Years. This was a hardcover with its dust jacket from 1996. This one had actually been signed by Dean Mitchell, the artist. It was listed on Etsy for $89.99 and sold with the 10% discount for $80.99, which is a pretty nice flip from a couple of bucks. I will take that all day. And your flip of the week also took place over on Etsy. As I said, a pretty strong week relatively over on Etsy. I think I sold 11 listings just on Etsy, which for me is a pretty good number. Usually it's five or six, so I was pretty happy with 11. This book from 1979, Engine Summer, written by John Crowley. It was a first edition Doubleday hardcover in its dust jacket. Ex-library book, very difficult to find. I had it listed for $99.99, and it sold with the 10% off sale for $89.99. And that is the extent of what sold here last week. So, again, not a terrific week. The week prior was much, much better. On balance, it's going to work out okay. I'm still on pace for what would be a record December, which would be my, fifth or sixth month in a row of record-setting sales. So I'm reasonably pleased with how the holiday season has gone. Speaking of, I have had not a single issue yet, knock wood, with the United States Postal Service. I don't have any packages that have been delayed or that have gone missing. So despite all of the negative publicity that USPS has taken over the last couple of years, they seem to be doing a pretty good job this season. If you're watching on YouTube, you can let me know in the comments if you've had any issues with any of the carriers, but the United States Postal Service in particular. Not sure, looking forward for the next couple of weeks, with the holidays falling on Sunday, which is usually kind of when I record this. Christmas Eve is Sunday this year, and my family is celebrating on Christmas Eve, which actually means I will be home by myself on Christmas Day. So maybe I'll do an episode next week on Christmas Day. And then the following weekend, obviously New Year's Eve Day is Sunday. That one, I suppose I might have an opportunity to do on Sunday. So just as a heads up, if you don't see me right away in the next couple of weeks. Also, speaking of, thank you to everyone who has subscribed, followed, watched these rambling little podcasts that I do. I try to do every week or so. My YouTube channel has finally reached the first threshold of monetization. So essentially what's that mean? I'm able to offer memberships, and I'm not sure I really want to do that. When I first started this channel a long time ago, I made the pledge to you, which at the time was like four people, so maybe it's not that big a deal. but I did say that I would never put any of my content behind any kind of a paywall. So my gut instinct is that I don't know that I want to do memberships. If you watch on YouTube, let me know what you think of that. Really, the only perk that probably I would actually probably consider offering with that would be that you would get these podcasts the day they're recorded, because I record them, I edit them, I upload them on Sunday, and then they sit there until Monday morning. If I had memberships, members would be able to watch these on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, so you'd get them, 12 hours in advance. I'm not sure that's a big enough deal to justify asking for a membership. So again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can let me know what you think of any of that. I don't do a lot of lives anymore, so like super chats are not really a thing. I think the only thing at this level that is going to be active for me is, what is it, super thanks. So if you want to help out the channel, you could do that. That would be awesome. But otherwise, I still need, 980 some hours of watch time to actually start getting monetized for ads. So again, as I asked last week, go put another one of these on in the background. Anyway, that's going to put a wrap on this week's episode. Thanks, as always, for spending a little bit of your week with me. And now it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.